Hey guys, it's Joey Chu of Chew Chat from the ChewStation.com website, and this is the, I've lost count of how many times I've tried to record this intro. This episode for this week is super short, and it's also a little bit late, because of what you're about to hear. A good friend to many in the video game industry here, and like the video game social circle, the big video games family of developers, writers, and so on. And basically, yeah, it's, I mean, Andrew Yun unfortunately passed away. And well, why does this podcast even exist? It's because the night before. We were hanging out in New York City, near Texas de Brazil, like this Brazilian barbecue place, like for the night. It was the first time I ever had Brazilian barbecue, and he kept, you know, he had high regard for it. Before we went, I got to chat with him about a global game jam that he participated in the past weekend. And, I just wanted to hear about his experience doing that because, he made that card game Divorce, and he was always into making games, like, after he did his stuff at Joystick and Shack News. And, so it's just 10 minutes straight of, talking to Andrew about, his super awesome, game idea, and, that he turned into, like, a game. I'll let him describe it, like, in the audio, but, Andrew, like, everything he did, Andrew was and still is an inspiration to me. It's a hell of a lot because of, like, seeing what he could accomplish and that inspiring me that maybe finally get off my ass and, like, make Chew Station a thing as shriveled up and, like, underdeveloped as it is now, like, and it's driving me to do more with it. So, And everything else that I will do from now on will be because of Andrew. So, thank you. And I'm really going to miss you, Andrew. Well, here we go.
Yep. You can see the waveforms. Okay, let's compare the... Okay, let's wait for the horn. Listen. You can hear how bad it is compared to regular talking. It's like, this is the mic. That's the speaker.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm learning all sorts of new things about the iPhone.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's just the iPhone...
it's still the regular 5.
5?
Yeah. Okay. Not the 5S. There is no Touch ID. Nonsense. Anyway, I'm joined by Andrew Yun.
Person now. Yeah. I guess I'm a person.
Yeah.
Former interesting person, current regular person.
You used to work at Joystick, which apparently is imploding because of AOL.
I hope that's not what's actually happening, but, I have a lot of friends there, and obviously, I feel really bad just because I have so many friends there, but more than anything, what really scares me is that when AOL shuts down sites, they don't archive them, you know?
Oh, man.
Like, all that content just gets gone, and half of my professional life was at Joystick, and so just thinking about, like, oh, I wrote thousands of posters, and they're just all going to disappear, it's like, a part of me feels really sad, because I feel like I'm just not going to exist as a person anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Yeah. But, no talk about sad things. Let's move on, then. It's because this past weekend, you were involved in the Global Game Jam, right?
Yes, it's a Global Game Jam. So, if you're not familiar with the idea of game jams are... usually community organized events where people of all skills come together and challenge themselves to make anything, any kind of playable game within a 24 or 48 hour time frame. So Global Game Jam is quite possibly the largest one. There's tons of venues all around the world. In New York, there was one at NYU's Game Center, and so I decided to go to that one. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. So the way game jams work, it depends on the venue, but essentially everyone gathers, and then they reveal a theme. Global Game Jam, the theme is universal, so every location has the same theme. And this year's theme was, so what do we do now? Question mark. Which I thought was a really interesting jumping off point for a game. And so, essentially, this game jam I decided to work solo because the weather was really terrible. It was over the course of 3 days, so 48 hours over 3 days. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to challenge myself to make a game solo this time around. The last game jam that I was with, at, we had a more balanced team. And so this time around, I thought, all right, so the theme is, so what do we do now? And I took that as like, oh, let's make players feel helpless, right? Like give them the feeling of doing something, and then turn like change the rules on them and have them, you know, think like, well, what do I do now, right? Like I was mostly inspired by the Alfred Hitchcock movie Rear Window, where like I like that idea of like voyeurism, but non-participatory voyeurism, right? Where you can see but do nothing. And so once I had that idea, it's turned into a game where you're talking with a chatbot. So I have to be clear, I don't really have that much programming experience. I can't do art. So like, how do I make a game by myself without real programming? And so I thought, okay, well, you know, I could do like a text-based adventure, sort of like a Zork, you know? And so I wanted players to engage with a chatbot. So I'm not sure, like, if you haven't played those classic text adventure games, usually the way you talk to the computer is through commands, right? So you're just like, go east, or pick up item, or say such and such. And I didn't want players to feel like they were talking with a robot. I wanted them to feel like they were talking to an actual human.
More naturalistic.
So, you know, it involved essentially trying to figure out reverse engineer human language.
Like, wow.
So, you know, if you type in, like, hello, the computer will respond. If you type, like, what's up, the computer will respond. And essentially, you know, over the course of, you know, 48 hours, I just tried to come up with as many reactions to as many possible sayings and statements as possible. And so, you know, that was a lot of fun. And so you're talking with this chatbot called Lover3285. And it just, you know, you're like, hey, what's up? How you doing? I'm at a game jam. Oh, that's so awesome. And just you have this conversation. And then about a few minutes in, once you're like lulled into it, the avatar types back like, hey, I think I heard something, and you're like, what? Oh shit, someone's breaking in through the window, and you're like, what? It's like, oh shit, like what do I do? What do I do? And you can type anything, but the story will always progress that
in a certain way.
The story will always progress to the point where it's like, you'd be like, you know, call the police or like run, you know, and they'll respond by saying, I don't think I have time. You have to do something, and then the chat gets disconnected, and then you're presented with a new screen where you're having a police interview, the question that they ask is, so what's your friend's name, and where do they live, and. And yeah, you won't know either of those things. It is possible to find out if you ask the right questions, but obviously for first-time players, they're just gonna so
it kind of caught off guard. You're like,
yeah,
no,
yeah. So I mean, I'm ruining the entire like spoiler of the game,
spoiler alerts.
But yeah, so like repeatedly, the goal was like to have players constantly ask, "What do I do now?" So at the beginning of the game, it's just really abrupt. It just says you're in a chat room and you have no idea who you're chatting with. You don't know what you're supposed to do, so it's interesting to see players like a lot of them type in hello or hello question mark or who are you or what am I supposed to do? So right off the bat, you have that feeling of, like, what do I do now? And then once that twist happens where someone breaks into that person's house, you're asking again, like, what do I do now? Yeah. And then finally, when you're confronted with the question of, like, well, who are you talking with? You have that other, like, answer of, like, well, what do I do now? So, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was really challenging to do something like that, you know, in a 48-hour time span. But it's really satisfying when you just, when you make something and when you're just sort of thrown into a situation that you're unfamiliar with. You know, like I said, I don't really know programming, and it's not like I have a lot of experience making games, but I felt really proud that I could say, hey, I did this in 48 hours by myself. You know, is it broken? Of course, you know, of course it is. but you know, I think the only way you really learn is through experience and just sort of diving in, you know, head first and see what happens. So that's Global Game Jam. So.
Was it like every center, like every, I mean, like they're not all like NYU game centers, but like every meeting place, like they, at the end of, like the very end of it, they would rally together and like share everyone's work all at once?
Yeah, yeah. So after the deadline, which was 5 p.m., the next 2 hours you have, you know, just open play time. And you know, during the 48 hours when you're at the jam, you're free to just mingle with people. You know, I was working on my game, but I would take breaks and I would, you know, help playtest other people's games, give suggestions, you know, write some copy. So, you know, I definitely wanted to get my hands dirty with as many games as possible. And there were so many great games. And at the end of the evening, they did have judges and they did have awards. Unfortunately, I didn't win anything. But it's hard to feel bad when the winning entries were just so incredible. The game that that really impressed me the most was this game called Backer Update, which is
yes, I think I heard about this one.
where the game is it's a 2D platformer where you're just moving from left to right, and then occasionally you're interrupted by a Skype call. You answer a call and you realize this is a Kickstarter game, and it's like, and the development team is just saying, like, oh man, we really want your input, you know, we want to collaborate with this game. So the first question is, like, should we make the game realistic or based in fantasy? And, you know, just depending on which button you click on, the game completely changes. And then the next question is, like, you know, should this game be an action game or should it be RPG? And then, like, you click on one of them, the game completely changes, and it's just,
it's nuts.
It's really cute. The art style is really phenomenal because it looks like a Sega CD game. They used themselves as actors and just and turned themselves into just like put themselves in the game, and there's just lots of FMV with them. That's super awesome. Other games that didn't win awards, I was also really impressed by. There was this one game where you're driving a car and you're trying to run over as many kittens as possible.
Oh.
But the gimmick is the driver has no display. The driver can't see where they're driving. the other player is wearing an Oculus Rift, and they can see. So you have a blind driver, and the person in the Oculus is trying to command, like, turn left, sharp left, turn right, sharp right. It's just super bizarre, super polished. And that was from a team of two where one of the guys involved was a film producer. He's never made a video game ever.
Ah.
So it, once again, just goes to show... there were tons of people that never made a game there before, and I think it's just a great way of picking up skills and meeting people and just coming up with all sorts of crazy, wonderful ideas.
So game jams are like the new mode of like going to like crash course on game design.
Exactly. I mean, and you don't have to spend thousands of dollars on it, and you make new friends. Like the team that I worked with on my. On the game jam that I went to for GX Dev, we're all like Twitter friends now. We're all like really eager to meet each other later in the year and work on another game together. Like it's like summer camp. We didn't want to say goodbye. it's really wonderful, and I want to go to every single game jam I possibly can now.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much for your time, Andrew.
Yeah, of course.